Well, good morning to you again. As I said earlier, the preacher's going to be preaching off for a while, so I'm not going to do Revelations. I'm going to leave that for him when he gets back, amen? Doesn't matter to me whether it's a week or 10 weeks. I think we'll still be here and be ready for him when he gets back, amen? And he loves to teach it, and he does such a good job at it that I just don't think anybody else could do justice to it. So I think we'll just leave that for him until he gets back, and to be waiting on him. So anyhow, open your Bibles to 2 Thessalonians. This is where I was trying to get to for the last couple of times that we had Sunday school that I was teaching here. And we finally did get to Thessalonians just very briefly, but that was chapter 1, I believe. But it all started back in the book of Jude. If you remember, we was talking about how God is still in charge. And he is still in charge, amen? He is still on the throne. He knows everything that's going on. He knows about the virus. Believe it or not, he created it, amen? Everything on this earth was made by him. So it all belongs to him. He is in charge of it. He's still in charge of it. He knows about the shots that's going around. He knows about the flu bugs. He knows about all of it. And it's all under his control. And so many times we as Christians, we forget that. And everything that takes place in our lives is because of things that he allows. I imagine we could probably talk to Brother Whistler right now. He's been battling this thing for 8 or 9 weeks. And I'm sure that he's had some turmoil in his life with his bug, just everything that's been happening to him, in and out of the hospital. And I guarantee you he could probably tell you that things aren't going so well and hadn't been going so well, but I'm pretty sure he'll still tell you that God's in control. And this is, I'm going to read a verse to you out of Ephesians 6:12. It says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers and against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." That's who we battle every day of our lives. When we get out of bed every morning, it's a battle. And sometimes we forget that. And bad things happen to good people. And God allowed these things. It's just like Brother Whistler. I promise you, you watch. Before this thing is said and done, something big is going to come out of this. You know, Mark is a businessman right up here in town. He has decided to rededicated his life to the Lord, and he's just been serving in the capacity that he's been able to and doing all he can to support a radio station and a church, and the devil doesn't like that. And now we know the devil's not omnipresent. He can't be everywhere, can he? But he got a bunch of little devils out there helping him, and they're attacking us. And they don't want to see people like Brother Mark doing good for the Lord. So if they get an opportunity to attack, they will. And a lot of us in the life, I know I've had people say, "Well, it doesn't seem to be bothering me." Well, maybe he's already got you. See, if he's got you, he doesn't have to bother you. Is that right? So anyhow, getting back to, we was talking about how God's in charge. When we went over to Jude, we were looking at chapter 1, where we were told to earnestly contend for the faith. So that's what brought all this subject about. And we're to contend for the faith. That's what we're talking about right now, our Pass It On program. Pass on what? Passing on the gospel. Contending for that which God has given to us as Christians. And we're supposed to fight for that. Then we went over to the book of James, and we read a little bit in James, and we talked a little bit about our salvation how is our faith without works? Now, remember I told you, we're not teaching work salvation. We're not teaching that whatsoever. But we were looking at what James said about it. James was saying, how is your faith without works? Well, think about that. If you're a born-again believer and Christ has moved into you and he lives inside of you, how can there be no evidence of that? That light's got to be shining in there. If the Lord's there, there's going to be some evidence. So we talked about how if there's no evidence there, then maybe we need to reevaluate our salvation. Because if God is living here, there's a light. Now, we can be backslidden and we can cover that light a little bit and we can dampen that light. But I promise you, it's still there. It's there for eternity because salvation is eternal life. It's not temporary life. It's not something that we've earned. It's given to us and it's permanent. So if we're saved, that light's going to be there. There's going to be a little flicker in there, even, no matter how far backslidden we've gotten. So we need to look at that, and we need to evaluate ourselves. And then we went over to the book of Luke, and we was reading about the king there, how the Lord told him, he said, "But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thou soul shall be required of thee." Talking about all that he had gathered, all his goods, all of his riches. Who are they going to belong to now when he leaves the world tonight? So that was talking about us as Christians. We don't know. We don't know when our last night's going to be. We don't know whether today's our last day. This might be the last day we're on earth. So with that being said, we need to be contending for the faith. Now think about everything that's going on today right here in America. If you look at it, if you look at the entire picture, you can see how everything, it's a battle against good and evil. That's what it all is. And everything that's happening is trying to shut down the good. Because, see, they've been trying to get rid of this book since God has given it to us. They hadn't done that. They hadn't been able to accomplish that. God says we're going to have it. So he's not able to get rid of it. So, but if he can muzzle us, shut us up, then we can't spread the gospel. It's kind of hard to pass it on if you're not allowed to associate with people. And everything that's been going on in our lives for over a year now has all been about shutting down the Word of God. That's what it's about. See, we put emphasis on self. Everything's about us. No, it's not about us. It's about our God. It's about His goodness, and it's about what He can do for you and I, and what He can do for the lost people. And if we can't spread the gospel around, these people are going to die and go to hell. So that's why when you go to the book of Jude, he tells you to contend for the faith. It doesn't say contend for the faith unless there's a pandemic. It didn't say that. We're to contend for the faith. And what really bothers me more than anything is the amount of Christians that have ran scared. Because if you believe our faith, everything that we believe is faith. All that we have is our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe in Kevin Mann did an awesome job right up here Sunday night. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are what? One. And he's used Bible's numbers to show that. What an awesome job he did with that right there. But folks, if we believe that, then why do we not trust God with the rest of our lives? If I can trust God with my soul, I'm trusting the Lord Jesus with the most precious thing that I have, which is my soul. My soul is going to live eternally. But what I'm saying is that I'll trust him for my salvation, but I can't trust him for this virus. Because that's what we're saying when we run scared. Let me tell you something. If you're out here and you're doing God's work and you get sick and you die from a virus or anything else, it doesn't have to be a virus. You know, you can get run over by a car crossing the street. You can fall over dead with a heart attack. Airplane can fall out of the sky and take you out right now. I mean, you can die at any time, for any reason. So sheltering ourselves and hiding doesn't do us any good. So what we need to do is pick up ourselves, trust in our Lord Jesus, and go do what we're told to do. And if we die in the process, maybe I'm wrong, but I thought my entire goal was to reach heaven. Isn't that the whole thing when we talk about eternal life? We're talking about eternal life. We're here? No. We're talking about eternal life in heaven. But every time we talk about it when we get involved with Christians, they act like, well, I thought she was getting up a busload to leave tonight. Well, does it really matter? I mean, if you're truly born again and you believe what you say you believe, why does it scare you so bad that you might die tomorrow? Think about that. Now, I understand that we all have lives to live. God gave them to us, and they're precious. Every life on this earth is precious. All these babies that's being murdered out here every day, those lives are precious. Who is standing up for them? You know, I mean, face it, this is the group here. Our younger years are behind us, amen? We're at heaven's doorstep right now. We should be fighting for these babies that's being murdered. Now, we took a stand out here alongside the highway just a week or so back. And thank God for that. But how many people did you see along that highway? We had a couple of hundred there, which is great. But it should have been thousands there. I mean, we're talking about the lives of our children. But folks, we're not contending for the faith. We're not doing that in which we ought to be doing. We need to be taking a stand. And you and I as Christians, if we don't take a stand for God, who's going to take it? And today, everything that's happening in the world, we're slowly pushing out the Lord. I mean, I can remember back when I was a kid. Remember the battle going on, taking prayer out of school? Worst thing that ever happened. You know, it bothers me because where was the church? Where was our church then? Our church, not just this church. I'm talking about the church, God's church. Where was God's people? There should have been a cry across the land like they'd never seen. But it didn't happen. They didn't stand up. They didn't contend for the faith. They didn't fight for their rights. And it's the same thing happening today, making these children wear masks. Did anybody know why they wear masks? You know, in the Muslim world, they make the women cover their face because it makes them submissive. So you know, understand, that's what they're trying to do to you. They want you to put a mask on. They're trying to quiet you down, trying to calm your spirit, trying to make you submissive. That's all they're trying to do. It's all about control. Now, if you want to wear a mask, wear a mask. God bless you. Have at it. I don't care to wear one. You know, I believe, see, Brother Bradley's kinfolk was up here. Dr. Cole said something about putting that mask on. He said it's kind of like standing behind a chain link fence and asking a mosquito not to bite you. And that's the truth, because it does the same thing. Now, can it help? Sure, I'm sure it can help a little bit. Sure it can. You know, but it's not going to protect you. It's not going to stop you. I hear people everywhere I go now, they just be safe. How do you do that? Explain to me, how do you be safe? You don't have a clue what's going to happen to you when you walk out that door. Be safe. That is irritating. Make my blood wants to crawl inside of me. Folks, we got to stop all the nonsense. And we got to get back to what we're supposed to be doing, and that's contending for the faith. But we're not doing that. And then we went on and we went over to Revelations. We got to Revelation 14. And I'll read that to you, Revelation 14, 9 and 10. And the third angel followed him, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image and receive his mark in his forehead and in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. Folks, this is the reason we went there was to try to show why it's important that we contend for the faith. Why it's important that we spread the gospel. Because this is where these people are going. If you're not born again, this is what you're going to see. And I'll tell you today, you know, we still have a lot of people that's on the fence. You know, Pastor Carter preached a message one time about straddling the fence. Hey, you're not quite on God's side. But you're not quite on the devil's side. You're kind of in the middle, and you're just kind of riding the fence rail there. You don't want to commit to the Lord. Because, see, when you give your life to God and you get saved, you become His. You belong to Him. And a lot of people, they don't want to go to hell. They just want a little fire insurance. But so they won't jump off that fence and commit. But they hadn't committed totally to the devil yet. Folks, let me tell you something. If you're not committed to the Lord, then you're committed to the devil. So you think you're riding the fence, but you're not. You're on one side or the other. But we still got too many folks who think that straddling that fence, trying not to make that decision. And the reason we went right here to Revelations is because, folks, you need to make that decision. I mean, we're living in the end times. There's no doubt about it. There's never been times like this. Now, we can look back in the past and we can go through history and we can see a lot of bad times. We can see times when Christians were being persecuted horribly. And they're being persecuted as bad, if not worse today, than they've ever been persecuted. Just not in this country yet. But it's coming. It's coming. Now, I had some people send me some information this week, and I've had people ask me and talk to me, and they're scared and worried and upset about what's going on, and you know, about this vaccine. Should they take it or should they not take it? I'm not taking it. I'll just tell you like it is. I'm not taking it. What you do is your decision. That's up to you. First of all, I don't like the fact that they used unborn babies to make this vaccine. They used, you know, stem cell. I don't like that. And there's a lot of rumors going around with the vaccine about nanoprobes being in it or what is and what's not. I don't know what's in it. I'm not a doctor. But I'm just going to trust in my book. I'm just going to trust in the Lord. I'm not going to worry. It doesn't make sense to me when you talk about a vaccine. You know, you can ask the doctor, well, does it prevent COVID? No. If you have COVID and you take it, will it get rid of it? No. So what's the point in taking the shot? Why am I taking the shot? Well, you might not get as sick. Well, I know a lot of people who died who had the shot. So the way I see it, you're just adding to the complications. I mean, you can get COVID and you're going to get sick, right? And with the rate that the percentages is like 99.7 something percent, you know, survival rate. I mean, you got a better chance of dying and getting hit by a car than you do of dying of COVID. So it makes no sense to take a shot, especially when they don't know what the outcome, or maybe they do know, but we don't know what the outcome of the shot's going to be down the road. We have no idea. We don't know what it's going to do to our children, our grandchildren down the road. We don't know. Now, I'm not against shots. We've been taking vaccines all of our life. I mean, remember going before you went to school, you had to have your shots. I don't know if they still do that or not, but we used to have shots. But these shots were tested for years. They knew the outcome of these shots. This shot that they're taking today, we don't know. And sadly, you can't trust anybody. You hear so much propaganda, you really don't know what to do. So I'm just going to trust in the Lord. I'm just going to trust Him to take care of me. And with all that being said, I want to get back to Thessalonians chapter 2. Finally got there, amen? Now, I do want to say something about what Brother Kevin Mann was teaching on the other night. Well, I thought that was so awesome. The way, because you know, a lot of people always struggle with the fact where God come from. You know, where did He come from? How He had to have a beginning. Well, the way He explained that was just so awesome. He used the numbers, how the numbers, if you go out adding numbers, they just keep going. They never stop. And if you go out subtracting them, they never stop. They just keep going. You never run out of numbers. And that's the way you look at God. You know, He's just forever. And it was just awesome the way He explained all of that. It was just so good. If you weren't here Sunday night, you missed a big treat. But you can go back to the video counter back there and get a DVD. I would get the DVD because that way you can watch. Because He drew on the board up here and put the numbers and all down. And what was He doing? He was showing us that this Bible is God's book. He was just backing that up. He wanted us to understand that the word that we have is God's word. Now, why was that so important? Because we've got people today by the thousands falling out of Christianity, turning their back on God, and they're being told that this book is not 100% correct. Well, I don't know what part of it's wrong, but if one part of it's wrong, then none of it's any good. Because we don't know what part's right and wrong, do we? It's either all good or it's all bad. You can't have it both ways. So if there's one part of this that's wrong, maybe it's the part that says I'm saved if I believe in God. You see my point? This book is real. And the things that Brother Mann showed up here Sunday night, the way he worked all the numbers and everything, no man can do that. I don't think we could take a computer today and do that. It had to be God. And he used that, why? To show us that our faith is real. What we believe in, it's real, it's true. And I think the problem today is that there's so much information that's so available to us today, right at our fingertips. We can just tick on our little phones and we can pull up so much information. The sad thing of it is, when it comes to religion, that's what it is, it's religion. Religion is not of God. What we have is faith. Faith, our faith is real. We have God's word. But if you go looking up things on the internet, you'll find out that most of what you look up will not correspond with this book. It doesn't line up right. You know, they've got religion involved. They've got their opinions involved. They've got everything involved. But it's not what God gives us. And if we want to get something from God, the best place to go is His book. That's where we need to go. And today, we're bad about not doing that. We've become lazy. And we have become very selfish. Everything today is about me. It's all about me. And that creates a problem. Because then, and being lazy, folks, being lazy is not a good thing. I mean, I know everybody likes to relax a little bit. But when we're so lazy that we don't pick up God's word and study the word a little bit for ourselves, all we get is what somebody else gives us. And if you don't check it out, then you don't know what you're being given is true. You need to check it out. You need to look at the book and read the book and check some of it out. Now, see, I don't know about you, but I ordered the DVD from Brother Mann Sunday night. I can't remember all that he had up here. I mean, you know, he started up here. By the time he got here, I'd already forgotten this up here. I'm like, wow. You know, it's hard. It's just hard to remember all of that. I went home. My wife didn't feel good, and she stayed home Sunday night. And she asked me what they preached on. I said, stay home. And and I told her, I said, no. I said, you missed a blessing. Kevin Mann was awesome. And I tried to explain to her, and she looked at me like, what? I'm like, yeah, I know. I understand. But I got the DVD, so I can take it home and give it to her. She can look at that DVD so she can get something out of it. Because it's just awesome. But that's why it's so important that we get into the book and we study. Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 1 says, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him. Now, right here, so you know, Paul was writing this second letter to Thessalonians because he had written a letter in 1 Thessalonians. He had written that letter, and a lot of those people, they misconstrued the letter, and what they did was a lot of them just became lazy and said, hey, the Lord's coming. If he's coming, there's no sense in us doing anything. He's coming. So a lot of them just quit doing what they were doing. And that's the same way today. A lot of us, we get to the point, well, we look at everything, we say, well, God's coming. We just quit. No, if the Lord's coming, we need to press on harder. Because if he does come, if that trumpet sounds tomorrow, then anybody who's here that's lost is going to hell. The cross is withdrawn. So we need to push on harder. We don't need to get lazy. We need to push harder. And also, there was some other letters that had obviously had been written to them that contradicted what Paul was teaching. So there was a little confusion going on. So he wrote this second letter to them to confirm what he had wrote to them the first time. And right here, when it's talking about our gathering together unto him, that's not talking about the second coming of Jesus Christ. That's not talking about when he's coming back as a lion. This is talking about our gathering to him, the Christians gathering unto him, talking about the rapture. And I'll show you the difference. Go over to Revelations. Go over to Revelations 19. I believe that's the right book. Revelations 19. And look at verse 11. Verse 11. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called faithful and true. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed in a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, and with it he shall smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he shall treadeth the winepress of the fierceness of and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now turn back to Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians. Turn back to 1 Thessalonians in chapter 4. It should be a page, maybe two pages back in your Bible from where we were. And we'll start in verse 13, chapter 4. It says, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Now, do you see a difference there? You see a difference there? See, here, when he wrote to Thessalonians, when the first time, he's writing about the rapture. He's talking about us meeting the Lord in the sky, in the air. Then when you go over to Revelation 19, that's the second coming. You know, Jesus came as a lamb, and he was crucified, slaughtered as a lamb. But when he comes back, he's coming back as a roaring lion. He's not coming back to be crucified again. He's coming back to rule and reign. And there's going to be terror and horror at that time. Folks, so when he wrote this second letter, it's because they got everything the first time messed up. And that's the same. We still do the same thing today. We have people today who still question whether or not we as Christians are going to be here during the tribulation period. Folks, we're not going to be here. We're going to be taken out. We're going to be called out. We're going to meet the Lord in the air. So we don't have to worry about God's wrath. Now, people say, well, you know, it looks like things are going to get really bad. Yes, they probably are. How bad? I don't know. I'm like you. I don't know. But I do know this. Any wrath that is put on us is not from God. It's not God's wrath. It's man's wrath. We got to remember who's in control of this old world right now, and that's the devil. So everything that's going on in this world right now is of the devil that's going on. And any wrath that's put on us is from him. It's not going to be God's wrath. We're not going to be here during that time. Look at verse 2 in 2 Thessalonians. That ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as the day of Christ is at hand. Now, what was he saying to him? Not be soon shaken in mind. Folks, that's exactly what's happening. We're getting things in our mind that's just not happening. That's not real. There's some people today, you turn the television on, you turn on all these programs on the internet, and they're feeding false information, fake news, to this computer right up here. And they're trying to get you all mixed up. Folks, you know, you turn programs on and I see them teaching replacement theology. In other words, they're taking the promises that belong to the Jews and they're trying to put them in the church. And that's not the way it is. We can't get things mixed up. The promises to the Jews are the promises to the Jews. So when we put ourselves in their place and then people are trying to look at the persecution of the Jews, that's not us. That's a whole different thing. Folks, read your Bibles. Get into your Bibles. Don't be worried about the world, what you know, the world's telling you every day. You turn your radio on and you turn the television on and you got all kinds of winds of doctrine blowing out there. We need to stick to the true doctrine. We need to stick to what we've been taught. And that's what Paul is going to be telling them right here. We need to stick to the doctrines. And that's what we was looking back in when we started a couple of weeks back in the book of Jude, contending for the faith. That's contending for the doctrines that God has given to us. Folks, if you want to hunt something, I know during the week some of you say, well, I don't have anything to do during the week. Good. I understand that. Get in your Bible. Get in your Bible. You can go down and you can get tapes from down here at the college library down there. We have tapes down there of Dr. Carter where he teaches Revelations and many other things down there. And you can get those tapes and you can take them home with you and you can listen to them and study them. You know, if you listen to them on a cassette or even on a DVD or whatever it's called today, you can stop and start. You can pick up your Bible. You can read along with him. You can study. You can mark. You can stop and start the tape as you wish. When you're in here, he keeps right on teaching. And you say, well, wait a minute, I got a question about this. Well, you can stop that and you can study that for yourself. Don't be reaching out to all these television programs. You know what they want? Your money. Before that program is over, I promise you, somewhere along the line, they're going to give you their address because they want your money. Well, if you want to give your money to God, that's awesome. You give it here. You give it to your local church. You don't give it to everybody that's out there that has a TV program. They're not doing, first of all, they shouldn't be asking for your tithes and offerings to start with because it doesn't belong to them. It belongs to your local church. That's what the doctrine teaches us. That's why it's so important. But we've got so many people, I've heard them on there say, well, you ought to tithe where you're fed. Well, you're fed where you want to be fed. You understand what I'm saying? So what they're trying to say is because you're listening to my program, you ought to send your money to me. That's not what the Bible teaches. See, that's how we get things crossed up. And it's the same way with Revelations. It's the same way with the end times. You know, the same way with the book of Daniel. If you're studying those things and then you listen to somebody on the television, you can listen to three different people and you're going to get three different teachings. If they're teaching God's word, it'll be the same no matter who teaches it. It might be said a little differently, but it's going to be the same doctrine. The doctrine is going to be the same. See, I'm not going to get up here and I'm not going to teach the way Dr. Carter teaches. I'm not Dr. Carter. You know, I wished I had some of his knowledge. I would like to know what he's forgotten. You know what I'm saying? I mean, his brain is like a massive computer. God has just blessed him with so much. And if I could just have a crumb off of that. He was teaching one time over in the college. He said he wished he could just open your head up and just pour it in there. And I was thinking, I wish you could too. Just open it up and pour it in, because I'd love to have it. You know, because I can sit down here and study and study and study. And it's just like Kevin Mann said the other night. He's been through his Bible 150 times. And he said the last time he went through it, he said, I'm telling you, that wasn't there last time. He didn't been through it 150 times, but that wasn't there last time. I'm telling you, I've been through it 149 times, and that was not there. That's God's word. See, as you grow and you read, you learn more, and you learn more, and you'll learn more. And you'll begin to see things that you've never seen before. So that's why it's so important that we continue to study and continue to read. And that's why it's so important to Thessalonians that we understand what's going on right here. We need to understand that this is the rapture. This is not the second coming. Now, as we move on, we'll see the second coming. In verse 3, he says, "Let no man deceive you by any means, that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition." Now, I don't know what you think you're seeing today, but I'd call it a great falling away. That's what we're seeing today. We're seeing the church just fall by the wayside. We're seeing more and more false doctrine moving into the church house. You know, you got homosexuals that's preaching. You got ladies up here preaching. You got ladies praying in church. Ladies, I got nothing against you. But God said, keep your mouth shut in church. What he said. I didn't write the Bible. He just said, be quiet in church, right? So the ladies aren't supposed to be praying over the man. They're not supposed to have dominion over the male. Now, I'm not trying to open up a can of worms. I had a dream about that last night. I got a couple minutes. I'll tell you about that right quick. I had a dream that we was firing senior patrons up. You know, we've been here about 3 weeks here. We got our first week. And we had started, and we were just getting ready to go. And we had about 8 people. That's all we had. About 8 people there. And that was counting the workers, you know. So it was really looking bad. And I'm like, man, 8 people. And I had some kind of an idea that I was going to go do something. I told everybody I'd be right back. So I took off. And when I come back, lo and behold, the place was packed. I mean, it was packed. I couldn't hardly get in the door. I had to swim in. And up on the platform, there was a band up there. And they were beating the drums. They were playing and singing and hollering. And the people around, they was just, you know, everybody was just getting into the music. And then they stopped. And some woman jumped up and she started praying. And I was running. I was pushing people out of the way, fighting, trying to get up there. And I got up there, stop! And I asked people, what are y'all doing standing around? This woman can't be praying. And I don't know why that came up, but it did. And I guess it was just because I'm so anxious about getting everything fired up and everything started. And when you start something up, you want everything to go right. And I guess in my mind, everything went wrong that could go wrong, you know. And that's just the devil trying to beat you down, you know. But it just encouraged me. Because now I'm more determined, you know. We got to get this thing off the ground right. And I don't know why the women were praying there, but that really bothered me. So I had to get that stopped. And I don't know what bothered me most, that or the drums. Because they were beating them drums up there. And they were just having a good old time. And it put me back thinking about when Moses had brought the children out of Egypt, and they was all gathered around down there. And the Lord said they had the sound of war at the camp. That's what it made me think of. Anyhow, it woke me up. I had a bad nightmare. But we're going to get it off to a good start when time gets here. All right, brother, give me that count there. I'm out of time. Brother Bert will be mad at me here.